Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, how you went all the way for us, and how you brought us. Even before the world began, you knew our names. And now at the appointed time, you called us forth. And here we are to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord, to live for him and to testify of him. And eventually, we trust that the Lord is coming to take us home and glorify us together with him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory here this morning in Jesus' name. And somebody put their hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, today I want to introduce a book in the Bible that I will be teaching over the next several weeks. Now, this is one of my favorite books in that New Testament. You know, so if you haven't listened to the series we did on the Hebrews and the book of Revelation, you can check it out on the website. But when I did the book of Revelation, we didn't quite finish it. And the book of Hebrews, I think I almost finished except the last chapter. But today, I'm going to the book of Ephesians. Amen. And this book, today I'm going to be giving an introduction. It's a short book. It only has about 6 chapters. So I'm going to give an introduction today, and we're going to cover a lot of things. This is one of the books, when I first came to know the Lord, this book was very significant in my life. I mean, the Lord took me through this book, and I would remember times when, you know, I would ask the Lord a question that I wanted to know about something, and he would always speak some verse to me out of this book, and then even though I didn't know where it was, it would give me point blank the chapter and the verse, and then I would go pick up the Bible and it would be just right there, you know. And I just fell in love with the book, and over the years I began to understand more and more, and I noticed that there are some very deep things in this book of Ephesians, you know. So we will be covering the book of Ephesians the next several times I speak until I finish it. I want to do this teaching for this book. Praise the Lord. I am going to give a brief introduction today, and maybe I'll cover chapter 1. So this is the book of Ephesians, an introduction here this morning. Now, in this book, we see that Paul, the apostle, was writing to the people that are in Ephesus, the saints that are in Ephesus. We see that he covered a lot of things about who they are in Christ. He covers all the things that Christ has done for us. He covers the depth of the knowledge of the riches of God. He covers some of the mysteries that have been hid before the world began. How that Christ would eventually, you know, God in Christ would bring together all things. He covers the foundation of the church, how it's built upon apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Then he goes on to talk about some basic principles of the Christian life and things like that, you know, and how you can be an overcomer and so forth. He gives instructions to husbands, he gives instructions to wives, he gives instructions to children, he gives instructions to, you know, masters, you know, if you're a boss on your job, he gives instructions to our employees, what they used to call servants in those days or whatever, and he gives, you know, just all round instructions. And at the end, he comes back and talks about how to be, you know, a valiant warrior in Christ, you know, how to put on all the full armor of Christ. And he described what that full armor is. So it's a very rich book. I mean, he even talks about the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, the knowledge of God, and all the wonderful things that you have in Christ. So today, the book of Ephesians, an introduction. And I will start at chapter 1. I think I'll just go ahead and cover chapter 1 today. Chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Turn with me to the book. And we're going to read the Bible in this series. Okay, some people don't read their Bible anymore. They just wait for somebody else to teach it to them. But we're going to read it together. Amen? We're going to read the Bible. Now, chapter 1, the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, as we go along, I'm going to call out some things in this book, and then I'm going to give everybody an assignment today against next time. Now, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now let's take a look at that very first verse. Paul is not writing to sinners. Amen. Hello. Said Paul is writing to the saints. Now, you know, I've often liked to point this fact out because believers sometimes like to say we are sinners. No, we are not sinners. Hello? We are not sinners. Used to be, but now we are saints. Somebody say amen. Amen. God refers to us now as saints. And in this chapter, this is what we are going to call out. What does God say about you? That's what we're calling out in chapter 1. And I want you as we go along, because this is the assignment that I'm going to give you already, especially you young folks. I'll call you out next time. You know, so as we go along, I want you to mark in your Bible or write in your notebook. I don't see people with their notebooks in church anymore. I mean, it's all, you know, people just come, look, and so forth. You know, but I want you to take notes. I want you to identify the things in this chapter that God says about you. And at the end, we're going to point out the reason why that is so important. So the first thing he says about you here is that you are a saint. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You are no longer a sinner. You are a saint. We are called to be saints. That's what we are. And we are called to also be faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, grace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let me also call out that verse right there, because this verse says God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is, he puts it right there. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way he puts it. And that's, you'll find that in many scriptures. It always talks about God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't exactly talk about God the Father and God the Son. No. But it talks about God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So take note of that. Now, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you reading with me? Who had done what? Who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Does this say that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to bless us? Is he going to bless us? He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We need to now bring those things down upon the earth. Amen. It's like God was speaking to Job and said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion upon the earth? That's right. You know, if you understand what God has already done for you in heavenly places, then you can bring it down to earth for yourself. See, he's already given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now it's for you to bring it down to earth. Jesus said himself, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. There's a relationship between things that happen in heaven and on earth, and also the things that happen in earth and in heaven. You know, so there's a relationship. Now, we've already called out a few things that by now you should have written down at least three things that God already said about you. Right? He said you are saints, and he also said that, you know, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings and so on. Now, according as he has chosen us in him, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Are you with me, folks? That is a very deep subject. The Lord chose us in him before the world began. It's not the, you know, it's not because, oh, today you just decided that you're going to serve the Lord and that's how you got in, you know, the kingdom. No. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said in himself, no man can come unto me except what? Except the Father draws him. Now those who are chosen are also drawn of him. You know, today, you may look at a person and say, well, you know, how come they're always hating the things of God and so on? Don't worry about it. You know, The Lord, all you got to do is tell them the love of Christ, give them the message, give them the witness. Those who are chosen, they will come unto me. Amen. Amen. That's right. Because you can't tell who's going to be saved or not. We don't know that. You know, you can't look at the way somebody's behaving today and say, well, they'll never amount to anything. Who tells you that? You know, we've seen a lot of people in the Bible who looked like they were complete opposite of the gospel and became champions of faith. Amen. Paul himself, of whom we are reading his writings today, he was a persecutor of the church. He was, you know, injurious to the faith and all that. But look at how, you know, when God turned him around, how he, you know, where he became. So he chose us in him before the world began, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So there's a lot of things here. God already predestinated us that we are going to become the children of God. It's already done in his mind before the world began. You know, and he begins to bring us forth and so forth. He led us to the gospel. We believe the Lord. We believe, you know, the word of truth. And here we are today. You know, so these are wonderful things that God has said about us. Now, he did all of this for the good pleasure of his own will. He didn't do it to please anybody. Praise the Lord. What the Lord doeth, he does for the good pleasure of his own will. Now, and he said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. That's another thing. He has already accepted us. He has received us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. At the end of this, I might just ask you to tell me all the things that he says about you. You know already, but we've already seen about six things, you know. In whom we have redemption. That's another thing that he says about you. We already have redemption today. Praise the Lord. It's not that we're going to have redemption. No. We have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So today, your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah. It's not that your sins will be forgiven. No, it's not that you will someday have redemption. No, we already have redemption. Now, all that is left for us is to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's not that we are going to be saved. We are already saved by faith. We're going to come to that in the next chapter. You know, we're already saved. Now, that's for those who are saved. If you're not saved, you're going to find that this is a good lesson of how people can get saved as well. You know, when we finish this series, nobody that listened to it should be unsaved. Amen. Yeah. And nobody should be doubting in themselves who they are. You're going to know exactly who you are. You know, in a minute, I'm going to tell you an illustration. Now, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That's all another thing that he has done for us. Having made known unto us, see, the mystery of his will. Now, do you know the mystery of his will? He has already made it known to us. But if you don't know it, well, you will learn it by the time we are done with this series. He has already made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure that he purposed himself. See, all of these things is about God. It's not about us. You know, what he's doing is about him. These are the thoughts he had himself. These are the desires he had to do. And he's bringing them forth in us. And we are, you know, role players in this whole thing that God is doing. Now, he says, this is the mystery. Let's look at it in verse 10. What is the mystery? The mystery is that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Hallelujah. This is the summary of all things. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, God will gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, whether they are in heaven, whether they are on the earth, whether they be Jews or Greeks, whether they be yellow or white or whatever, or black or brown or anything, God will gather together in one all things in Christ. And he begins to tell us, describe a little bit about this Christ, this person who is the center of gravity or center of, you know, attraction or anything like that. He's the one that magnetizes all things together. Who is he? He said, in whom, talking about this Christ, in whom we have obtained, not we shall obtain. Are you still with me, folks? In whom we have obtained an inheritance. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you a little illustration about that in a minute. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Again, he's telling us that this thing, it's God that is doing it for his own pleasure and for his own will. It's not because of something that we wanted to be. It's what he ordained. And by the grace of God, he pulled us right into the vortex of his will. And we're right there with him. And today, you know, we need to exercise, you know, the knowledge of who we are in Christ. Amen. Now, he wants us to be, here's what he said. He said, he wants us to be to the praise of his glory. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Is there anybody here who heard the word of truth and have trusted in Christ and is still trusting in Christ? Let me see your hands. Are you trusting in Christ? I see some hands, but not every hand. Well, for those of you whose hands might not have gone up, we trust and believe that you will put your trust in him. Amen. Now, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, nobody can be saved except by the word of truth or the gospel. People cannot be saved by gimmicks or all these things or programs and so on. No. The word of truth, that's what brings salvation. Praise the Lord. The gospel of God is the power, you know, of God unto salvation. Now, he said, when you heard the gospel of salvation, when you believed in him, look at the last verse of that. He said, after that you believed in him, ye were sealed. Not you are going to be sealed. There's a lot of mysteries and a lot of benefits that have been revealed in this chapter. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Not that we are going to be sealed. We are already sealed. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The devil is sealing his own, and God has sealed his own as well. You know, and at the end of the age, the sealing is going to be very clear. Because he said, let him that is holy, the holy seal. And let him that is righteous, the righteous seal. And let him that is unholy, be holy, the unholy seal. Let him that is unrighteous, the unrighteous seal. God is putting a demarcation between the real elect of God and all other things that are fake and false and counterfeit. But for those of you who have trusted in Christ, I want you to be assured that you are already sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Now, we've read about 10 different things already that he has already done for us. Now, what is this sealing of the Holy Spirit? The next verse will explain to you what it is. It is a token or an earnest. See, it is a token or an earnest of our inheritance. Now, God has already given us the inheritance, but he gives you a token, you know, and then at some time down the road, you claim it fully, you know. So it's like you have an estate, it's there, you know, and so forth, but you haven't claimed everything, you know. So it's already there, you know, he has given us, it's an earnest of inheritance until, you know, not we that are going to be redeemed, but redeemed of the purchase. Jesus already purchased back the whole world, see, which was lost to the devil. The devil actually grabbed to Jesus and said, look, all these things are delivered unto me. If you bow down, I'll give them to you, and so forth. You know? And Jesus, when he whooped the devil, amen?
Yeah.
Of course he did. He whooped the devil on the cross. He made an open show of principalities and powers. You know, and he took the keys away from him. And he got it. And you'll see it in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. When John saw that book that was sealed, it was a book of redemption, was sealed with many seals, seven seals, in and out, and so forth, written everywhere. And nobody was found worthy to open the book. You know, and he wept much, you know, because there was no prophet, there was no apostle, there was no angel, there was nobody that could even look upon the book or to read it, and so forth, until he heard a voice that said, "Weep not, John." Hallelujah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. And he took the book, see, because he got that redemption. He's going to claim the whole thing. All the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And the people of the saints of the Most High shall possess the kingdom. Amen. Now, that's all coming, but he's already given it to us. And you have to begin to exercise the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Now, he has given us this for the praise of his own glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks, you know, for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is the prayer that Paul prayed for those six people. And this is the same prayer that I pray for every one of us here today. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes, you know, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. I'm already in verse 18. That you may know, see, the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory. You know, we have another series on the website called The Riches of His Glory. I think it's part 1, 2, or 3 or something. You should listen to it. It's good. The riches of his glory. You know, the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness? I mean, verse 19, folks, they're not catching up, whoever is displaying that on the screen. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? What is the greatness of the power? Do you understand the greatness of power? I mean, are you a believer? Do you understand the greatness of power? These are some of the things that we're going to be talking about in the book of this Ephesians. We don't want anybody to sit back, you know, and just think that, well, you know, you're just here for the ride or this and that. No, you are significant in God's program. And God is telling you who you are. Understand who you are. Understand the power that is invested in you. Understand the glory of God that you are supposed to partake of, and look at all the things that he has already done for us. You know, this power that is working in us is the same power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. Hallelujah. Amen. And every name that is named, not only in this world. Now, the Lord already set Christ above every principality and power. And we are seated with him. You know, that means also we have that same power. We have that same position in him. You know, now, you can't have that position if you're outside of Christ. But in him, we have that position. Now, not only is Christ's name above every name in this world, but also above every name that is even to come. Hallelujah. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now notice the mystery. You know, there's a way, it's a beautiful way how Paul brings this together. It's just beautiful. It's fascinating. You know, we are seated in Christ. He said that Christ is the head of the church. The church is his body. And Christ is seated above. Which means, if Christ is the head, he's not everything. He's just the head. What about the body? I mean, you can't just put the head. You can't cut off the head and put it somewhere. What about the body? The body goes with the head. Amen. And the head goes with the body. So where Christ is, there we shall be also. And there we should be. And Christ is seated in heavenly places. We should be with him because we are his body. And he said we are the body of Christ. And he is the one that filleth all in all. Praise the Lord. Now, I went that through that very quickly because I wanted to give time for me to tell you an allegory or an illustration. So let's look at this illustration. when a child is born, a new baby or whatever, they don't really know who they are. They have no knowledge. They have no clue. They may be the child of some king. They might even be born to the president of the United States or some great person. But the child has no clue who he is. Is that true? The child doesn't know anything. I mean, it's just a child. All he knows is how to cry and do some of these things. You know. And then, you know, it takes a while, you know, but somebody really has to teach that child. I mean, consider if the child were to be born to the United States president, for instance, and he doesn't know who he is, you know. But all of a sudden, you know, there's all this force. When he begins to grow up, and when he begins to get to the age where he can go to school, there's all this force around him, you know. Everybody making it for us, you know, the secret service and all these things and so on. He can't go anywhere unless they go with him and so on. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's like they're all over the place, you know. And it's just like, I mean, you actually think that it's the president that they are guarding, but it's just his son, you know. But now they're guarding him just as importantly as they will guard the president. And then, so maybe one day, you know, the guy makes friends with one of the secret services and says, hey, what is all this stuff that you guys always do, you know? So he says, well, so the guy tells him, he says, well, because you are the president's son. Amen. The president's son. He said, well, yeah. He said, well, you know, if something were to happen to you, I mean, somebody were to get to you, they can use that to leverage against the president. You know, so we have to protect you like we protect you. He said, oh, you know, now he begins to get some understanding. You know, and then maybe somebody has to actually teach you some other things. So that doesn't exactly work here in the United States of all the things he possesses. But suppose it was some monarchy somewhere else, you know, like in the olden days where monarch owned everything and so forth. So this son would really own everything. He would own the ascension to the throne. He would own everything else, but he probably doesn't know it until somebody actually teaches him. And somebody has to teach him. And you know that, you know, if they grew up in the warrior times, somebody will actually have to teach that kid how to fight. You know, I mean, not the kind of fight where he goes to school and he's exchanging blows. No, they're going to have to teach him the art of war. Gonna have to teach him how to fight the fight of princes. You know, so they're gonna have instructors for him. He's gonna go through his lessons. They're gonna have instructions for him, you know, his lessons, you know, every day of his fighting lessons and everything like that. Because they're trying to groom him, you know, to be a warrior for the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And all that time, just use your imagination with this story. All that time, he's learning and trying to figure out who he is now. You know, and then somebody will be telling him, and then he begins to figure it out. And this is what the book of Ephesians here is doing for us. It's telling us who we are, you know, because sometimes people forget who they are in Christ. They still think, sometimes some people still think, oh, we are still sinners. No, we're not sinners. You know, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature, folks. He's not a sinner anymore. All things are passed away. That's the sin nature. Behold, all things are become new. This scripture is so powerful. Back in the days, when we used to, I mean, in the olden days, when they used to witness to us when we were teenagers and little kids, this was the scripture that they drummed into our heads. You know, today, the difference is, today, when people are to be saved, you just come up here, shake the pastor's hand, you know, and so forth. Or they just say, oh, well, you accept Jesus as your pastor and say, and everybody says, yeah, cool, you know, and all that. No, there's no such thing. You know, here is how you must be saved. You have to repent. Amen. You can't just accept. People always say, oh, accept the Lord. Actually, accept the Lord Jesus Christ is not a phrase that's even in the scriptures. You don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe on him. Now, believe on him means that you have to do something. You know, they asked Peter, what shall we do? He said, repent. That's right. Repent and be converted. You must repent. You can't just accept. You can't just shake the pastor's hand and think everything's okay. No, you must repent. Repentance means all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And they used to, you know, pile this scripture into our minds back in the days You had to know that you are a new person. You couldn't do those old things again anymore. And in fact, you didn't have the desire to do those things again anymore, because all things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Now, if you are still struggling with old things and they are not really passed away, maybe it's because you don't know who you are. See, maybe you don't really know who you are. You know, it's like the little prince that they are still trying to teach him who he is, and he doesn't want, you know, the bodyguards, he doesn't want any of these things, he doesn't want the secret service, he doesn't want anything. Because he really doesn't know who he is. He doesn't appreciate, you know, the significance. Now, when he begins to understand it, he's going to begin to appreciate it now. So you need to know who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, one time in Matthew 16, he asked his disciples, and I'm going to ask us a reverse of that question today. Jesus asked his disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And one person said this way, and that person said that way, and then this person said that way, and that person said this way. Finally, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Wow." He said, "Well, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, you know, but my Father which is in heaven." So, I'm going to ask us a question now. Now, this is not really about Christ now, but I'm going to ask you this. It's about you. So, two parts of the question is, who do people say that you are? That's the first part. When people look at you, what do they make of you? The second part is, who do you say of yourself that you are? Who are you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who are you? If you are a believer in Christ, are you still referring to yourself as a sinner? It's not humility, folks. It's lack of knowledge. You know, some people think, "Oh yeah, I gotta be humble." No. It is lack of knowledge. God says you are saints. See, and you've got to live up to the bill. You know. When you think you are sinners, then you still behave like sinners. You know. You need to behave like a saint. You need to behave like a child of God. You need to carry yourself with posture. Praise the Lord. Don't carry yourself like you're still a sinner. That's the reason people are always falling into sin. Because they say, "Well, we are still sinners and so forth." And you know, we do this and we come back for repentance. God says, "I'm weary of your repentance." Hallelujah. I'm weary of it. Snap out of that thing already and be like a child of God. Hallelujah. Know who you are in Christ. Now, I'm not saying that anybody is perfect, but Jesus wants us to be perfect. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. "Be ye therefore also perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So people always go about saying, "Well, nobody is perfect." Well, that's not in the eyes of God. That's what people think. When God called Abraham, way back when, you can read it in Genesis 15 and read it in Genesis 17. God called him and said, "I am your shield." Hallelujah. "Walk thou before me and be thou perfect." That's always what God wants. God doesn't want this business of "I'm a sinner." God wants you to be perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, does that mean that you are already perfect? I don't know. But if you are, then stay there. Let him that is holy be holy still. Let him that is righteous be righteous still. Don't go up and down. Not this yo-yo Christianity. God doesn't have any pleasure in that. Praise the Lord. Be the saint that God called you to be. Now, so, here is the exercise I'm going to ask for everybody. Don't be too proud to take the challenge. I don't say, "Oh yeah, you know, No. Take the challenge. Write down who you are based on the things that we have read in this chapter. Not based on what you think or based on your imperfections, but based on how God sees you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you think that these people in Ephesus that Paul was writing to, did you think that they didn't have any issues or they didn't have any problems or they were not struggling with anything? Of course, they were. But still, he referred to them as saints. In some places, he even talked to them and said, look, let him that steal, stole, steal no more. But right into believers. You know, but those who are still in the old nature. And Paul was still telling them, look, my little children of whom I'm traveling in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You know, he was always dealing with these people, always going back into the old sin nature. Let Christ be formed in you. Amen. Be a child of God. Carry yourself like a child of God. Be an ambassador for Christ. You know, don't be like, you know, don't be... Do you know that an ambassador, you know, I mean, if you're an ambassador of a great country like the United States, you know, and you go someplace else, I mean, you're like almost carrying the whole United States behind you, you know, and you're not going to be treated like a pauper, you know. You actually have, you know, quite some privileges and so forth like that, you know. So, the privileges that we have for being ambassadors for Christ, right here, you know, they start with us understanding who we are. That's why when you pray, do not pray as the heathen do, you know, because the heathen, they have no relationship with God. They just think that when they say something over and over and over and over and over again, that's how they will be heard. Jesus said, no. Your Father already knows what things you need. Just ask Him. Praise the Lord. Develop a relationship, knowing who you are, thanking Him for His grace. Now remember, the key thing in all of this is for you to recognize the mercy of God. That's the key thing. There is no way in the world that you could attain or deserve this grace. No way. But by His mercies, He saved us. Hallelujah. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These two scriptures, when I was a young man, 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Ephesians 2:8-9. These were the scriptures that helped me to grow in Christ. And once I knew that I was a new creature, I didn't like to do those same old things anymore. You know, I like the partying and the whatever the other person was doing. Because I'm a new man now in Christ. Praise the Lord. And some people think that being in Christ is boring. I tell you something. I don't know about this generation, but in my generation, people wanted to be like us. That's right. When I was in school, people wanted to be like us. People wanted to be like us who were the believers. You know, because they knew that there was some power in those guys. Praise the Lord. You know, we didn't want to be like the world. The world wanted to be like us. They said, wow, you know. And the people who want to come to the fellowship, they want to see, because they saw the way you conducted yourself and so forth like that. Now, what are people saying about you? Do your friends in school, those of you who are students, grade school, middle school, high school, college, wherever you are, do your co-students know you as a follower of Christ? Do they? Can they really say that you are a follower of Christ? You know, well, who do men say that you are? That's one question. That question is, who do you yourself think that you are? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, so, if somebody were to ask you, who are you? Well, you might say your name, and that's wonderful. But who are you? You know, so, you know, that's a question that we should ask ourselves. Who are you really? You know, and what is the first thing that comes to mind when people ask you who you are? What's it? Anybody? Who are you? You know, if they say, who are you? And you say, well, you know, who are you? I am such and such and such and such. Well, that's great. But who are you really? Well, I am this and that and that and that. Well, yeah, but who are you really? You know, so let's try to identify in the scriptures that we just read who you are really and what God says about you. This is the thing that matters. You know, this is what matters. Now, let's do a quick review. And I want everybody to write it down again next time. What are the things that God says about you here? Look at all, you know, just read it. We'll continue in chapter 2 next time. But even in this chapter alone, there's so many things that God says about you. The first thing we know is that God addresses you as a saint. Not as a sinner anymore. You know, that's if you have given your life to Christ. You know. We see that God also says here that He has already blessed you. So you are blessed. The heavenly places. You know, you are chosen. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. What does it mean to be chosen? Chosen doesn't mean it's not a random thing. You are chosen. I mean, there are so many people, but he chose you. It's not a random thing. He chose you. Praise the Lord. And it's not by chance. It's not random. He chose you. You are chosen. Jesus said it himself in the book of John 15. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Hallelujah. I've chosen you and I've ordained you to go out and be my disciples and bring forth fruit, much fruit. Herein is your Father glorified, and that your fruit should remain. So Jesus chose us. But the thing that we are being told here is, he chose you before the world began. Before the world began. Before you have ever done anything, you can read it in Romans chapter 9. You know, where Rebecca, whatever her name was, had the twins in her womb. Bible says that, look, before they had ever done any good or evil, God said, the elder shall serve the younger. You know, wow. Yeah. He said, so then, God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he will have compassion. He had compassion, he had mercy on you. He had predestinated you to become a child of God, which is what you are now. You are chosen him to become, to have, you know, adoption, become the adopted children of God. Now, he said, we have redemption through his blood. You already are redeemed through his blood today. You have forgiveness of your sins today. These are all the things he said. He has made known unto you the mystery of his will and all that. You know, and so on and so forth. And it goes on and so on. And he's given us an inheritance. He has already given us an inheritance. And you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we've already said about 10 or so things. So every one of you should be able to write down a few things that God says about who you are, you know, that identify you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you another thing. I'm going to close with this. You know, the angels and the devils, they know who you are. Hello? They know who you are. Now, you may not know who you are, but they know. It's like the seven sons of Sceva. They were trying to pray and cast out the devil and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches. Paul, come out of him. And they said, well, Jesus Christ we know. And Paul we know. Well, who the hell are you guys? Praise the Lord. Devils didn't care who they were, but they didn't even know who they were. They were quoting Paul. See? Amen. Amen. I guarantee you the devil knew who Paul was. So the devil confessed, Paul, we know. Does the devil know who you are? Yes. Does he? Yes. Well, first of all, does God know who you are?
Yes.
Now, God knows who everybody is, but can God, what is God's testimony of you? Can God say of you, like he said to Abraham, of Abraham, I know him. Hallelujah. That he's going to command his children and his household after me. Can God say that of you? Is that God's testimony of you? Or maybe God doesn't have any testimony about you at all. Did you know that the Bible says that whosoever denies me, I also will deny them? Did you know that? How many of you know that? Jesus said that. Oh, that's right. Have you ever wondered why in Matthew 7:21? You know, people say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And so I just say, I never knew. That's a denial. Jesus denied them. When you say, I never knew, is there anything that Jesus didn't know? Jesus knows everything. Jesus knew them too, but he denied them because they denied him too. They probably denied his word. They were carrying on doing their own things and did not follow his ways. So he denied them. That's a denial, you know. Does God know you? Is God going to recognize you? And I'll tell you next time too. Some of the most wonderful people that are recognized. They are called God's superstars. Amen?
Amen.
Who do you think they are? They are soul winners. Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly who they are. They are the soul winners. In the book of Proverbs 11, we are told, I believe in verse 30 or so, he said, you know, he that wineth souls is wise. And in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 and 3, he tell you that the wise shall shine as the stars in the firmament of heaven. So you can say that the soul winners are God's superstars. Praise the Lord. There are many ways you can win souls. You can win souls with your life. You can win souls with your testimony. You can win souls you know, by what you do and so forth. But these are the things that God wants us to be. Now, talking about soul winners, you know, I'm going to take just a minute to acknowledge our soul winners action team today. Brother John, stand up. Praise the Lord. Come on out here and call out your team. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Call out your team. If you are part of the soul winners team, come and join Brother John right here. Soul winners team. They are always here on Saturdays. They go out and witness. You know who you are. Come on out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's right. Soul winners. Action team. That's right. Now, yesterday they went out just like they always do. And they posted some wonderful testimonies of things, you know, and so forth. And these are the things that God is doing in, you know, behind the scenes. You know, these people, you know, I want to tell you something. Folks, don't be discouraged. You know, because God, they didn't ask for this, you know, but God sees you as stars. Amen. Amen. Now, you may say, well, you know, we do this as well, but you'll be the life of Christ. It doesn't matter. God is seeing you as stars. He that wears souls is wise, and the wise shall shine as the brightness of his stars in the kingdom of God forever. Now, I want everybody to stand up. Stand up and let's pray for this as well. Now, if you want to be a soul winner, you can join the soul winners action team. They're called the SWAT team. That's right. That's our own GMI SWAT team. They go out on Saturdays. And Lord, they know how to fight some battles. Praise the Lord. Raise your hands and just lift your hands towards them. And when we pray for them, then I'm going to turn around and pray for you too. Father Lord, I thank you for these soul winners. Praise the Lord. He that winneth souls is wise. And he that covereth a multitude of sins, you know, they are going to shine. You know, these are the people, Lord. Father, we thank you. The Bible says, you know, give honor to whom honor is due. Those who have labored, some of them hazarded their lives. You know, there are some sisters here who go to work in the night, and then they still come. You know, they don't sleep, they come to go and do their witnessing. They put their lives on the line for Christ. The Lord knows who you are, and the Lord sees your labor. Hallelujah. You know, there's a song that says, he sees all you do, and he hears all you say. Hey, my Lord is watching all the time. Hallelujah. God is watching what you are doing. And be not discouraged. Keep on keeping on. The Lord is watching. Hallelujah. And the promise of God is, if you faint not, so you can't give up now. Because he puts his hand in the plow and looks back, it's not fit for the kingdom. So you cannot quit on the Lord. Keep doing what you are doing. And the Lord multiply grace upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord open doors before you in the name of Jesus. All the work that you do, every Saturday, coming out here, sometimes it looks discouraging and so forth, but God is taking note. Amen. Blessed be the name of God. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to turn and pray for the congregation. Father Lord, I want everybody to say, make me a soul winner, Lord. That's right. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Now, Jesus didn't say, I will make you, you know, a computer consultant, or this or that, or this and the other thing. No, he said, I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. Father Lord, as many people in here that want to be fishers of men, I pray the grace of God come upon their lives. And an urgency of the Spirit to come upon you. In witnessing to the lost, in the name of the Lord Jesus. But first, we need to pray for every one of you to know who you are. You know, there's a song we sing, I know who I am. You know, what's that song? I know who I am, or whatever. Yeah, maybe the praise team can come up and sing that song for us. Praise team, start coming up, please. Come on, praise team. You know, I know who I am. Do you really know who you are? Do you know who you are? Praise the Lord. I want the person to come out and sing that song for us. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? If you know who you are in Christ, let me see your hand. Do you know who you are? It's not pride, folks. Now, give me 1 minute before you start playing the instruments. I want to say this one thing. Hold the instrument for just a minute so that people can hear me. I want to say this thing. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to them in John chapter 6 and
8 and so forth. Jesus said, look, I am from above. Ye are from beneath. And if I say I do not know you, him, I'll be a liar like the rest of you. Was he proud? Hello? Was Judas being proud? He was telling it like it is. You also are from above. You are not from beneath. The Bible says, carry your conversation as though you are from above. Don't be saying we are sinners. Don't be saying all this nonsense. You know, you are eagles. Hallelujah. Eagles by heart. You know, so lift your hands up, and I'm going to make one last prayer before they sing that song for me. They're going to sing. I want you to sing. I don't know who I am. You know, so Father Lord, in the name of Jesus, help every one of us to understand who we are in Christ. When you know who you are, not only will your life need to get better, you will also be able to do more for others as well. Because the Bible says that Jesus knew who he was and knew what about doing good. You will also be able to do good. You will be able to lay hands on the sick. But the Bible says, these signs shall follow them who are believers. When you know that you are a believer, you won't need a pastor or some other person. You will lay hands on the sick. And the sick shall recover. Father Lord, teach us the knowledge of who we are. Expand our understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, and to know the riches of God by Christ Jesus. And help us, Lord, to put into action this knowledge of who we are to the glory of God. And we want to thank you, Lord, because you wrote our names in the book of life before the world began. Jesus said, not just about casting out devils. Don't rejoice about that. But rejoice because he wrote your names in the book of life before the world began. Father, we thank you and we rejoice for that. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And somebody says, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. One other thing he says to you, young folks, is that you are strong. Not weak. So you young people have written unto you because you are strong and you have overcome that devil.
Amen.
So act like that already. Amen.
Amen.
Act like people who are strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Don't be a pushover for the devil. Hallelujah. Say no to all the things of the world. And say yes to Jesus. Amen. Father Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the service here today. Thank you because of the word that has come to encourage us to know who we are in Christ. Thank you because you have opened our understanding to see our position in you. Hallelujah. And we pray especially for the younger generation that they will put their claim down, put their stake down on exactly who they are. Hallelujah. And show this world that they are a chosen generation. In the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be the holy name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the offering brought into the house of the Lord today. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory for all who brought. Father, multiply their seeds soon. In the name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Rebuking the devourer means the enemy will not put hand onto anything that you have labored for. You have labored and you will eat the fruit thereof. You have built and you will enjoy them. You have planted vineyards, you will reap them and so forth. The enemy shall no more eat your corn. Neither will your corn be given to the sons of the strangers. Hallelujah. The Lord will prevent you from earning money to put in the bag of gold. In the name of Jesus Christ. A little shall be a lot with you. Hallelujah. A small one shall become a mighty one. Even with you, a small thing that you have, God is going to enlarge it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. Somebody shout the praise of the Lord.